I don't try to not be influenced by things. So like anything that I like, anything that speaks to me on any level, even stuff that I don't like, you know, like even a piece that I don't like but has some impact, I kind of let it just be there and become a part of me. I don't try to push things away.
This is the Art of Alon, Illuminating Music Podcast, where I talk to composers about recent commissions and performances of the exciting pieces that they have written. I'm your host, Jory Herman, and today we are talking with composer Avner Dorman about his piece that you're hearing right now called Variations on a Simple Theme, which was written for the Myriad Trio to perform at the 10-year anniversary concert for Art of Alon. Let's continue with the interview.
You know, I think the first thing that kind of got me interested in composing was I started playing cello. I think I was like 9 or 8, third grade. And my dad had bought me and my brother these mono tape recorders that were like a radio and a tape recorder. So I could record myself and I would kind of, you know, improvise at the piano or on the cello, or, you know, I started finding like noise on the radio between stations. And because we had two, I could like have two tapes and record on one and then sort of overdub and sort of add layers and layers and layers. And that was kind of my earliest compositional endeavor. Because my brother was all into writing songs, and somehow everything I created was kind of this like, you know, contemporary music, basically. The thing that drew me to it was the ability to layer ideas. And then, you know, I got older. All I wanted was a computer that I could write music on. So my parents bought me one, and I just got into it. And then, you know, I went to a high school that was had a music department. Again, that very much emphasized creativity. We had like teachers, for example, my first theory teacher in high school, he had a master's from Yale in composition. He was roommate with David Lang. So I got a lot of exposure really early on to contemporary music, and was really only interested, even in my piano became my main instrument, but all I wanted to do was like play anything from Bartok later. Like I kind of had a low tolerance for stuff that was earlier than that. That obviously changed at some point, but it was always the thing that I wanted to do. In high school, I wrote a lot of music, and I had a lot of friends who would perform it with me. And from there, the path was kind of set. Like any experience I had in life later, you know, I had to go to the army, which is something every Israeli has to do. Even in the army, my main job was to arrange for the army bands, like these vocal groups and chamber orchestra. I always looked for ways to be involved in creation. And I guess after that, I did my formal studies in Tel Aviv. That was with Bardanashvili, who was a wonderful composer. And then later, Juilliard. I did my doctorate with John Corleone.
It's so amazing to hear that you had such a passion and knack for composing at such an early age. Maybe you could talk about your musical influences. When I listen to your music, you have such a varied intensity and colors and way of writing music between each of the pieces that you have. Can you talk about your musical influences and how it gets into your music and your writing?
I don't try to not be influenced by things. So like anything that I like, anything that speaks to me on any level, even stuff that I don't like, you know, like even a piece that I don't like but has some impact, I kind of let it just be there and become a part of me. I don't try to push things away. And I know that some composers do, and I understand why, but it's just not my way. It's hard to, like, you know, start listing the influences. I would definitely say that in the, you know, in modernity and later, you can kind of track a certain line of composers, such as, let's say, Stravinsky in the early part, Stravinsky, Bartok, people who like incorporated materials from folk music and ancient music into a modern idiom. And then later, you know, it goes into a variety of directions. Someone like Ligeti, someone like Bernstein, from my point of view. Like these are people that sort of always collected ideas and sort of the idea to be connected to like a sort of a physical element and a natural element of music, what it means for humans to have music, and then structure that very into something written. So not so much keeping it improvisatory or very simple and as it was, but incorporating that into a very sort of well-developed Western idiom. I think that's kind of the place that I like, you know, to sort of like take this stuff, but then, you know, all the counterpoint that I studied, all the orchestration, all the, you know, all the knowledge, so to speak, that we have as Western composers. Because I feel, you know, some of the natural element and the immediacy that you hear in a tribal African music, you can't replicate that. But you can take something from there and then make something new with it in, you know, a 12-part canon, and they can't do that. So I feel that's where I can contribute, being kind of at the point of meeting of sort of oral traditions and folk music and popular music and very sort of well thought out, clearly composed and predetermined music. Definitely a lot of my pieces have sort of a Middle Eastern flavor, I would say. Some consciously, some unconsciously. And, you know, definitely, like, I recently had a piece premiere at the ARD competition. I wrote the compulsory piece for solo violin for that competition. And one of the competitors asked me about one of the movements. He was like, is this like a Jewish melody, like a Jewish-like melody? And I hadn't thought about it. But then he, like, you know, started playing all the intervals. I'm like, yeah, I think you're, you're right. So, like, I would never try to fight. You know, there's a certain automatic nature to your own habits and your own environment. I feel like I would need to consciously block it out to keep it out of my music, and I don't. So sometimes I will, of course, sometimes I will intentionally borrow a Jewish or a Middle Eastern melody or take some, you know, musical element that is clearly from a certain part of the world or a certain tradition. But sometimes it's just, you know, what we call improvisation. You know, it's kind of a combination of what happens in the moment and what you've learned before and what you've heard and mashup of all that. And I think there's a certain magic to, like, what happens in a moment. Like, our brains are more complex and sort of unpredictable in a way than our consciousness can always, you know, like our intentional intellectual element can create by itself. So I like to come in contact with that idea, at the very least, for creating material, for like generating the basic material.
So let's talk about the Variations on a Simple Theme, which was commissioned by Art of Alon. How did this commission come about, and what, you know, where were the initial conversations? You wrote the piece for the Myriad Trio, which is flute, harp, and viola. Where did these conversations start, and where were your ideas at the beginning stages?
You know, I know that Art of Alon did another piece of mine a few years ago, the Prayer for the Innocents, which is a double quartet. That's a piece that has very, very strong Jewish and Middle Eastern elements. But I think this commission was actually, like, I think Art of Alon and Myriad Trio kind of came up with the idea of having me write this piece for them together. So for me, it's like a dream come true because I love harp trio. I remember first time I heard the Debussy, I was just like blown away. It's just such a beautiful combination of instruments. In a way, you have everything. You have all the colors and you know, it's a variety of ways of generating sound. And also, it's just an incredible combination of instruments. So I really wanted to write this piece right away. It was like, yes, of course, I would love to write this piece. And in a way, I kind of had too many ideas because I'd wanted to write a piece for this kind of a trio for so long. You know, I listened to the Myriad Trio a little bit, and just to hear how they play and get a sense of them, because I hadn't heard them live at the time. But then I was like, yeah, I know what I want to do. And I started working on the piece, And I really felt like I have too many ideas, and I needed to find a form that would sort of accommodate a lot of different stuff. So like not be in one texture for a very long period of time, but rather, you know, and not end up with a piece that's 2 hours long. So sort of a way to get something together that would sort of make use of the fact that I love this ensemble and that I feel there's so much to do with it. And that's when I came up with this idea of doing a set of variations, because it's kind of intrinsic to variations that whenever you go to a new variation, everything changes. So you're something from the original theme stays. So there's a lot of freedom texturally and with different things that you can do, different combinations of the instruments. And I felt like the reason that it's on a simple theme is that, you know, for me, like the flute and harp have this like ancient quality when playing together, almost like, you know, medieval music or, you know, troubadours. And so I came up with this melody and harmonic progression that's really, truly like an old troubadour song like that. And I also feel like the flute, when it plays in the low register, just has this very special quality, much less like a concert flute, more like some folk instrument. And that's kind of how this piece was born, at least from my point of view.
I love how you present the theme at the beginning, and it sounds like you said, the troubadour song. Then it takes the listener, you know, beyond any expectations they might have that they hear at the beginning. You know, you hear something and you know what you're going to experience, but you kind of lead the audience's hand through the course of all of these variations, which is cool. How did you work on it? Did you start at the beginning and just work straight through, or did you have things in the middle that you were toying with and, you know, piecing them together? What's your process?
Well, I definitely did not work the whole piece straight through. Like, there were definitely different variations in the middle that kind of sprung out. Yeah, this piece is a little bit like a roller coaster ride, where the theme is like the, you know, the slow ascent at the beginning. We're like, oh, this is not going to be scary. and then you get like all these kind of things. Because the theme is like modal, kind of with a center, is to kind of go through the entire circle of fifths from variation to variation. And so even though inside variations, obviously I don't use always the same mode and not always all of it and sometimes more than it, each variation kind of moves one step in the circle of fifths. And then I kind of had like different associations for the different tonalities and the different areas in where the instruments fit into these tonalities. So yes, so I kind of find myself, you know, writing, I don't know, the one that's like sort of centered around E flat, which is, I found myself writing that before, you know, that was variation 8 before variation 4. So I kind of, yeah, filled in the blanks, so to speak, a little bit like, you know, like an architect maybe sort of build a blueprint and then starts, you know, adding the colors for the different floors and whatever, however they do it. So that was the main process in the piece, and kind of going back and forth, finding the balance where it needs to be. Like, some variations use the whole theme, some variations only use portions of the theme. Some variations are really far from the theme. Like, there's really very little. Like, I'm probably the only person who can tell the relationship. and some are very, very close. So, yeah. So a bit of a game to develop this piece.
And for many people, myself included, this might very well be the first piece of yours that they heard. And I began listening to some of your works on your website and just hearing the sheer variety between your orchestral and solo works and chamber music works. Was this piece a departure of kind of what you were doing at the time, or did it relate to some of the things you're working on now, or how does it fit in the scheme of this year and where you're going compositionally?
You know, I would definitely say that it has it's related in some ways to, I premiered a big opera. I don't know if there are any little operas, but this one is particularly big. This was almost a year ago, basically right after I finished writing the Harp Trio. So definitely, you know, working on an opera for a prolonged period of time kind of twisted my style around quite a bit, and my process, to be honest, because you have to like learn how to work, you know, without, wouldn't say faster, but sort of without fail. There's no option to say, well, I'll work on this tomorrow. Yeah,
deadline's a deadline.
And it's just way too much music and scenes, and everything has to happen. Like, the character has to go and say what they have to say. So it kind of, I feel like that really sort of solidified some ideas, some elements of my process. And I certainly think this trio embodies some of them. The other thing I think this trio is kind of influenced by a little bit is actually my teaching. You know, it's a set of variations. The theme is simple, the beginning, at the end. It gets really complex in the middle. I even like use a quadlibet at the 12th variation, which is like a folk song against the original melody. And this is a lot to do with the fact that I'm teaching counterpoint classes and just thinking about these things a lot, about how these things are put together, how big sets of variations are put together. And I think that had a pretty strong influence on me in this piece, because I'm kind of a lot of the time now as I teach, I want to teach the traditional way that it's taught, but also find a way to frame things that then students and myself can sort of take the insights that we get from, you know, Bach or Brahms or Lutoslavsky and apply them to whatever we're doing. And that was, in a way, this piece was a little bit of an experiment in that sense, that I kind of took some of these things that I was working on as a teacher and applied them to a piece I was working on. And that's something that I like to do as well as I teach. So, you know, so it doesn't stay theoretical for me. And also I like to use that later to sort of present to my students, you know, what I mean by certain things and how, you know, possible way to use things. I feel, again, there's some composers in history that I have an affinity with that did that a lot. Obviously Bach is the greatest, who wrote, you know, a million fugues to show his students how to do it. And we were just lucky that they were so good. But, you know, I even feel like someone like Bartok had this interest in like, oh, this is an idea that I came up with. I used it in this piece. Let me show you how I can use this idea in a smaller piece or in a bigger piece or in a set of variations. So I definitely think this piece kind of fits in with what I'm doing right now. Maybe less the same as a piece from 15 years ago.
What would you say your most popular piece is that you've written?
At this point, I would say it's Frozen in Time, which is a single percussion concerto. But it certainly exceeded 100 performances. It's been played all around the world. And it just gets played a lot. It's been like a competition piece at competitions with orchestra, you know, like as a piece that people can play. Something about percussion, because there isn't a traditional repertoire, makes it much more open to new things. So that's my most popular piece. I think my second most popular piece is my double percussion concerto, Spices, Perfumes, Toxins. Probably just a little bit behind. And then I think my mandolin concerto is also very, very often performed. You know, the other thing has to do with soloists. When you write a concerto and the soloists like it, and if they play an instrument that doesn't have, you know, 27 piano concertos by Mozart, then it's easier for those pieces to get programmed a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's those three. Maybe there's some chamber pieces that get played as much, but I don't hear about it as often, I think.
Thank you, Avner Dorman, for joining us on the Art of Alon Illuminating Music Podcast. As part of his mission, Art of Alon is commissioning new works from composers and spreading the excitement of classical music. If you would like to get involved in supporting the organization to create new works, please see our website, artofalon.org. And now you'll get to enjoy the 2017 live recording of Variations on a Simple Theme by Avner Dorman.
Hi, I'm Avner Dorman, and my piece is Variations on a Simple Theme. I wrote it for the Myriad Trio as part of Art of Alon's 10th anniversary celebration.
Thank you. Thank you.